So we're going to have to wait to swing until after I finish speaking now. Cities will be open for a while, so you'll have plenty of time, but I don't think I'd be able to speak if you were swinging at the same time, because it'd be too distracting. So tonight we're going to have a little philosophy, if that's all right. Tomorrow it's mostly enjoyment, because there's so much noise, it's hard to have philosophy. Even though I'm giving an introductory talk tomorrow, it's hard to say anything more than welcome. Christian's appearance, have a good time, please bathe the deities. So, but tonight, since we have a more controlled atmosphere and people aren't going to be screaming in ecstasy so much, we're going to be able to speak a little bit about the philosophy concerning Krishna's appearance. So it's very important to understand different philosophical points before we begin this slideshow. First of all, who is Krishna? That's a good point. Krishna is God with a capital G, not with a little g. There's many little g gods, including you and me. We're the God of our home, the God of our family, right? Isn't that true? Rishikesh, you're not the God of your family? Or your wife is the goddess of the family. Okay. So anyway, but at least you're the God of your car when you're driving your car. So we're all little gods, and sometimes there's bigger little gods. That means like the demigods like Indra and Chandra and Varuna and all those other things. So they're also little g gods. And you can also become one of them if you like. You can become Indra, you can become Lord Brahma, you can become Varuna, you can become Vayu, any of those gods. But there's God with a big G, and that's Govinda. Big G. Gopal. So, and the reason we say that, it's not just my opinion, this is not sectarian. There's several logical reasons and Shastric reasons. The Shastric reason is that all the great sages say this, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavam. That's Bhagavad Gita verse. Arjuna is saying, you are the supreme Brahman, you are the supreme abode, the supreme shelter, and hostvam rishiyak sarve devarshir naradasira. Because people like Narada Muni say it, Vyas, Asita, and all those great personalities. Now, there may be other personalities who say someone else is God, but we accept the opinion of Vyasadeva, Narada Muni, and all these wonderful great sages who have personally perceived the existence. Okay. That's why we accept Krishna as God with a capital G, and that's why we accept Krishna as the source of all the other incarnations of God with a capital G, because Vyasadeva says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ete Changsa Kalakpumsa, Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam, right? Krishna is the source of all the various incarnations like Nrsingha, Varaha, Kurma, all these multifarious incarnations which are described as so numerous like the waves of the ocean. So Krishna is that supreme person. Okay. So what, another point is, what does Krishna do as the supreme person? I mean, what is his job? Right? His job is to enjoy. And everybody else's job is to work. That's why you have all the demigods. They go to work. Lord Brahma has four heads because he has big management. Sometimes in other universes, Lord Brahma has 100 heads, million heads, 10,000 heads, whatever, because it's bigger management. He's the CEO and the COO and the CFO. No, he's not the CFO. That's Kuvera, sorry. But he's... I got that wrong. So he's the chief executive officer of the universe and the chief operating officer, all that, and everyone works under him. So, but he works. Indra has to work. And the only person who doesn't have to work is Krishna. Venam kanamtam aravinda dalayak taksham. What is he doing? He's simply enjoying playing on his flute with his girlfriend. It's pretty good, isn't it? Like if you go into any temple where they have a lot of deities, all the deities, whether it's The deity of Lord Shiva or the deity of Durga, they're all doing something, working, but Krishna's playing a flute with his girlfriend. That's how you know he's God. Because he's the one who's on vacation all the time. Right? Better than Steve Jobs, better than any of these people, and he's richer. Another point is that he has more wealth, he's more attractive, he's stronger, he's more famous, he's more renounced. And that's another reason why we understand he's God. So I've given you various reasons. So, now let's talk about, we already mentioned what Krishna does, why he's God, why we accept him as God. So why does Krishna come down? That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about, with this slideshow, the exoteric reason why Krishna appears. Exoteric means basically what everybody understands, the common understanding. But apart from what we're going to talk about today, there's an esoteric reason why Krishna comes. There are several esoteric reasons. One reason why Krishna comes down is that he likes to have serious fights sometime, and he can't do that in the spiritual world. So he can actually kill demons in the material world. In the spiritual world, everyone's devotee, no demons running around. But in the material world, Krishna likes to have a good fight sometimes. So that's one esoteric reason. But one is, that's more important insofar as we're concerned is that Krishna comes down to show us what he's actually like. Because unless Krishna came down to show us what he's actually like and what he does in the spiritual world, we would be left up to our imagination. We would be left to the anthropomorphic type of projection. That's a big word. Anthropomorphic means, anthro means like basically human beings. We project our own understanding of God. So if we were of a particular race or nationality, we would think that God looks like us. If you were from Scandinavia, you would think that God must have what? Blonde hair and blue eyes. And if you're from Africa, you would think something different. From India, somewhere, something different. And if you were from the Middle East, then you think, you know, God has nice curly hair. You know, not just curly, but frizzy. I mean, that's where my family comes from. Not anymore, don't worry. So that's called anthropomorphism, where you project your own image of what you think God must be like. He must be, you know, 7 feet tall, good basketball player, right? That's called anthropomorphic projection. So in order to just sort of like show us what he's like, what he does, and so we can get attracted to him, because when you hear about Krishna's activities, you get naturally attracted to him, and you want to become spiritual. Like, there has to be a reason for being spiritual. Some people's reason for being spiritual is just to escape from the misery of this world. But other people are impelled by a love, which is actually much more powerful than the escape clause. That when you love someone, love is actually the strongest force. What do they say? Love makes the world go round? So love is the strongest impetus, motivation known ever. And if you love someone completely, ready to devote yourself completely to that person, it's like we see sometimes a mother is like that with the children. That a good mother is ready to die for the sake of the children. So if you're loving Krishna because you know him, and without knowing him, you can't love him, right? So if you know him because he came down and showed us what he does, what he looks like, and then you love him, then you're willing to execute any sort of what would you consider to be austerities, but are actually not austerities because they're done out of love. And you'll advance spiritually very quickly. That's the secret. That's bhakti. As Krishna says, manmana bhava mad bhakto. Just think of me. First thing he says, think of me. He doesn't say bhava mad bhakto manmana. He says manmana bhava mad bhakto. First of all, you think of me. And then bhakti comes. Bhava mad bhakto badhyaji mam namaskuru. Okay. So that's the esoteric reason. Let's talk about the exoteric reason, which you're all familiar with. So Krishna appeared. First of all, we mentioned Krishna's appearance is above time and space. He's transcendental. And when you understand these things, then you don't have to take birth again in this world. This is a famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Who knows the Sanskrit? Janma karma. Diti tatvataha chaktva deham purna janma. Naiti mam eti sojana. He doesn't have to take birth again. Famous verse. There's the verse, which you just recited. And so, all right, so about 5,000 years ago, I want to be able to see this too, the leaders were pretty bad. You know, they weren't Republicans or Democrats. And they weren't fighting with each other because they all agreed with each other. They were all demons. And so the reason they were pretty bad is that anyone ever here see that film Star Wars before? Yeah, you saw that film? So there's a thing called the Death Star. Anyway, so the reason that they were bad is that the demons, they're like universal, like big, not monsters, but people who are not interested in spiritual life so much. What is the demon? Pravatim cha, nivartim cha, jana, vidur asura, Krishna says. They just want to make up their own rules. Everything is relative, okay? So what happened is that they were escaping from the demigods, like Indra, Varuna, right? And so to escape, they came down to the earth planet, and because they were very powerful, they became kings. Kings, prime ministers, I don't know if there were any presidents there. So the whole world was overburdened by this demoniac force. Whoops. And the earth is personified as who? I mentioned it there. Bhumi. Bhumi is Krishna's wife, one of Krishna's wives. If you've ever been to South India, you'll see that Lord Vishnu is worshipped with Shri and Bhudevi. So Bhudevi is Bhumi, who's one of Krishna's wives. So she was very upset. There's a personification of the earth. There's a personification of each planet. It's not that she looks like the earth. She's in charge. She's the presiding deity. So she took the shape of a cow, and she was crying about these burdens, and she went to the COO of the universe, Lord Brahma, to complain. This is the system. And she said, please help me. And Brahma knows that whenever there's these sorts of problems happening, he needs to go to Lord Vishnu or to wait for an advent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, sometimes the Supreme Lord appears in very interesting ways in relationship to Lord Brahma. How did Lord Varaha appear? Does anyone remember the story? From the nostril of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma was all worried about the earth planet again because the earth was submerged. And he was thinking, what am I going to do? And then the Lord appeared from his nostril. Pretty good, isn't it? So Krishna doesn't really have to appear through someone's womb. He can appear through a nostril if he likes. He's God. He has a transcendental body. So Krishna's quite interesting in how he appears, isn't it? And there's other appearances. Krishna also appeared in a pillar one time. Who was that? Nrisingadev. He just like, the pillar was his womb. And he just broke the pillar and came out. So anyway, so Krishna descends whenever there is a what? Decline in religion and a rise in irreligion. And there's the verse, you don't have to remember it. That's from the Bhagavad Gita. So when the demigods go to see Lord Vishnu on the shore of the ocean of milk, that's the Shuddha Dakshai Vishnu, they offer these nice prayers called the Purusha Sukta prayers. They're in the Rig Veda. Some of you who have come from India might have heard these prayers recited in different temples. These prayers are recited sometimes during the deity worship and other times during auspicious circumstances. Here's some of the Purusha Sukta prayers, glorifying the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord in the form of the universe has 1,000 heads, 1,000 eyes, and 1,000 feet, for he contains all the living entities, having pervaded the universe, completely to give it existence, being independent, he extended himself beyond it by 10 fingers. So these are different verses from the Purusha Sutta, which we're not going to recite. These deal mainly with the Lord's dealings with this world. Purusha Sutta doesn't generally deal with the spiritual realm. It deals with the Lord's ontological position, who he is, and how he deals with this world. So these are different verses. We don't really have time for all of them. So the demigods, they didn't hear any reply. But Brahma, he had a message from within his heart. He heard a message from within his heart. There was no need for cell phones or anything like that in those days. They could just... No, these are great personalities. And in that message, he was told that Krishna would appear on the earth planet and the demigod should also take birth and on the earth planet to assist Krishna in his mission. Similar thing happened when there was Ravana harassing everybody. The Lord agreed to appear in his Chaturvyuha expansion as Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. And the demigods were asked to come down as what? Everybody listening? Monkeys and bears. So, to assist the Supreme Personality of God. And so the demigods generally, they go down to assist the Lord. And the Lord comes to deliver the pious, annihilate the miscreants. What's the Sanskrit for this verse? What? What's the rest of it? Sambhavami, yuge, yuge. These are important verses of the Bhagavad Gita. There it is in Sanskrit. And so let's go down to the earth planet now. Soon after this, our friend Kamsa was taking his sister, who had just gotten married, Devaki, to the home of her husband, Vasudeva. It's Vasudeva, it's the right pronunciation. This is the standard procedure when someone gets married. The brother takes the sister to her new home. So he's taking her on the chariot. And he was also an interesting character, a demoniac person. And he heard this voice in the air or coming from the sky. He said, your sister's eighth child is going to kill you. So naturally, being a little demoniac, he forgot about loving his sister and went to kill his sister, but Vasudeva interfered, and Vasudeva gave him some instructions, which Kamsa didn't really take too well. But Vasudeva ultimately promised Kamsa, because he was known as someone who keeps his promises, that he would deliver all the children that were born of Devaki to him. And that's really what happened. So it's described here that a saintly person can tolerate all sorts of miserable conditions of life. A learned man can discharge his duties without awaiting favorable circumstances. A heinous person, that means a bad person, like Kamsa, can act in any sinful way. And a devotee can sacrifice everything to satisfy the Supreme Personality of God. This is from the Bhagavatam. So at first, when they brought the first child to Kamsa, Kamsa had second thoughts. He thought, well, actually, they said the eighth child. First child, all right, you can keep the first child. However, Narada Muni went to Kamsa. It's interesting how Narada does this. And he says, Kamsa, you don't know how these guys are counting. They may be counting backwards, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So this is actually the eighth child. These people are really tricky. So why did Narada Muni do that? Because he wanted to speed the advent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he knew that these six sons of Devaki were supposed to be killed. And so Devaki became purified by her fear of Kamsa and her continuation of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead in spite of that. And the six sons who were killed represent this fear and also different anarthas. Because these six sons were later purified and brought back by Krishna to his mother. So don't worry. There's a happy ending later on in the Srimad Bhagavatam to this story. So these six sons represent madness, lust, anger, greed, illusion, and envy, and ultimately fear of material association. So in other words, to have the Supreme Lord appear before us in our hearts or before us directly, which can happen if you become completely God-conscious, then you have to deal with these things. You have to get rid of them. Lust, anger, greed, how do you get rid of them? That's good. Hey, Arjuna, you had a good answer, Arjuna. Wow. You get a prize for that one. So you offer them to the Lord. You engage them in the Lord. For example, if you want to get rid of anger, you can be like Hanuman. Hanuman used anger in the Lord's service, right? And if you want to get rid of greed, you become greedy for Krishna. You want to, let's say, build more temples for Krishna, distribute more books for Krishna. Yeah, but you confirm it. You can confirm it with the spiritual master. That's a good point. No, you confirm it with the spiritual master and great sages, and then you can offer all these things. Even envy can be offered to the Lord. Anyone have any idea how you can offer envy to the Lord? Ask him. Well, we'll ask you. So you can offer envy to the Lord by having competition and how who can satisfy the Lord the most. Like Prabhupada, when he was on the planet, he inspired the devotees to compete with what we call book distribution, distributing transcendental literature, who can do more. So you can even offer that. Madness you can offer to the Lord. How do you offer madness to the Lord? No, you go into kirtan, you become mad and chanting the Lord's holy names. Okay? So if anyone wants further instructions of these things, we can talk about that later. So before Krishna appeared, Lord Balaram appeared to create a suitable atmosphere for Krishna's appearance. So there is Lord Balaram in the womb. What's so funny about that? What's so funny? So Balaram is there in the womb of Devaki, and okay, a little philosophical explanation first is Balaram is actually Rohini Devi's son. So Balaram's expansion appeared in Devaki's womb, and the original Balaram appeared in Rohini's womb. And so when it appeared that Balaram was being transferred or taken out or Devaki had a miscarriage, that expansion entered into the original form of Balaram. Okay? So Rohini is the actual mother of Balaram. So Yogamaya, that means the internal potency of the Lord, transferred Balaram to the womb of Rohini, another wife of Vasudeva, which I said before, he transferred the expansion of Balaram. Because Rohini was actually pregnant at the same time with the original Balaram. And so Yogamaya entered the womb of Yashoda and Gokul. And then Krishna entered Vasudeva's mind. And then from the mind of Vasudeva, he went into the womb of Devaki. And Devaki looked extremely beautiful. And I won't read this, but there was peace and prosperity. All sorts of auspicious symptoms occurred. And Krishna then appeared outside. Before he appeared as a little baby, he appeared with four arms, the Vishnu expansion, fully decorated in Kamsa's prison. And Vasudeva told him, you better reduce yourself to a normal baby because you're going to get in trouble appearing as God like that. And so that's what he did. They feared for his safety. Krishna told Vasudeva to take him across the river Jamuna. At that time, the river Jamuna was not blocked up like it is. We're going to be talking about that on Janmashtami, that nowadays it's a great sin that the river Jamuna is actually blocked up before it hits Vrindavan. And there's a lot of other things going into what people think are the Jamuna water in Vrindavan. So we want the devotees to somehow or other pray, and if they can do anything about it, take part in the protest to help make the Jamuna pure again. Anyway, so he walked across the Jamuna. The Jamuna opened up for him. And, And then the girl was brought back, that is, the daughter of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mayi, who he exchanged when he went to Vrindavan, was brought back, and that was Yogamaya. So Kamsa thought that the girl was the offspring of Devaki and Vasudeva, and Kamsa tried to kill the girl, and she appeared as Durga. Here she is. And she said, "Fool, the person who is supposed to kill you is already appeared in Vrindavan. So you're going to be in trouble." So then Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj raised Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another point is that Krishna is the son of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. This is another esoteric thing. That what happened is that when Vasudeva brought Krishna from Mathura to Vrindavan, he was bringing an expansion of Krishna, and Yashoda Mayi had given birth to two children, a boy and a girl. And the boy was Krishna, so the expansion of Krishna entered into the original form of Krishna, and Vasudeva took back the girl. Everybody understands that point? Because Yashoda Mayi is actually the mother of Krishna, as well as Devaki. Little esoteric stuff. So Krishna was raised in Vrindavan, and he enacted so many wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan, such as stealing butter. He's known as Makkan Chor for stealing butter, and dancing with so many gopis, and killing so many demons. So this is the appearance day of Krishna, and just to reiterate, here's some nice pictures we have from my book, Krishna Comes When Religion, Irreligion is Dominant. And he's present in his holy name for us. And there's someone we know here. She's sitting right there. Anyway, she used to distribute books in the airport. So Krishna is present in his holy name. He's present in his service. He's present in his deity form. He's present even in the temple. So we have a lot of opportunities now to associate with Krishna and perform what we call the process of bhakti yoga. And by performing the process of bhakti yoga, we can see Krishna now. That is the ultimate goal, ultimate stage of Krishna consciousness, where you can directly shake hands with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and perceive his pastimes in a spiritual or with a spiritual television. You've all heard of satellite TV, right? Where you can tune in so many channels. You can watch how many channels? 200, 300? What? 500. But Krishna has unlimited pastimes, and a devotee of the Lord can, but simply by closing his eyes and meditating, can perceive these pastimes taking place. So this is what we're offering in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, a spiritual television, spiritual satellite television. Isn't that something that's attractive? Mm-hmm. Something to look forward to, something exciting. And all can be accomplished by taking shelter of Krishna's holy name and performing bhakti yoga. So that's where we'll leave you today. We just want to keep it short and give you the opportunity to swing the deities. So any quick questions or comments? Tomorrow, of course, is Janmashtami. Anyone else? First
book that you gave from the Gita?
Yeah.
What was the English translation? I know you had a little slide.
Yada yada hi dharma sha glanir bhavati varata. Whenever there is a decline in religious principles, a predominant rise in irreligion, then Krishna comes down.
There was one where it was talking about karma.
Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha chaktva deham purna janma naiti mameti sojana. That is, if someone understands the appearance and activities of Krishna, then he doesn't have to take birth in this material world again. Now, to understand, that's an important point. To understand the appearance and activities of Krishna, you have to hear about Krishna from someone who knows about Krishna. And that's why we accept Krishna consciousness in disciplic succession. Krishna also says in the Gita, Evam parampara praptam imam raja shayo vidahu, that this Krishna consciousness is understood in parampara. That's the necessity of accepting authority. That's a bad word, I know. By accepting authority.
Not if God is the true authority.
No, God's representatives are true authorities, too. And Krishna ultimately says, here's another one that you're not going to like. Sarva dharma prajaja mamekam sharanam braja. Surrender unto me. Give up all varieties of speculation, nonsense, and other types of dharma. And ham tvam sarva papaibhyo mokshi yashyami ma sujaha. Okay, so now you'll have the opportunity to swing the deities.
Oh.
Also, the Abhishek is going to be done with these kalashes. I don't know if you can see the picture there, but we have these amazing kalashes we got from India. They have hand-painted pictures of Krishna's pastimes on them. And anyone who does the kalash Abhishek, we have two types of Abhishekes, right? One is with a conch shell, and one was with a kalash. So anyone who does the kalash Abhishek can take these gorgeous, you know, pastimes of Krishna with Radharani or Krishna stealing the butter, kalash at home with you. It's a really amazing thing. I spent a lot of time trying to get these kalashes from India.
Super gorgeous.
Yeah. So you really like, this is something very, very special.
Oh,
you get gifts. You get sweets. You get Krishna's blessings. Your whole life will be fortunate.
And
here we go.